Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're jumping into something that feels incredibly relevant and maybe a little daunting for a lot of us, navigating the digital world with our kids.
It really is. It's a landscape that's just changed so dramatically. You know, a generation ago, the playground was swings and slides, right? Now it's increasingly this digital space. Kids connect, they learn, they play. It's all happening online in these new ways.
Exactly. And the source material we have for this deep dive, it feels like we've got this really thoughtful guide, like a stack of notes just for figuring this out.
Yeah.
So our mission today is really to unpack the key insights here, get to what's actually important about helping kids be safe and, you know, smart online these days.
Because it's clear from this material, it's gone way past just setting screen time limits or putting up basic filters.
Definitely.
The main message seems to be about raising kids who are, as the source puts it, aware, resilient, and informed digital citizens.
Okay, see, that's where it gets really interesting for me. The source talks about this big shift, a human-centric approach. Less about, like, building digital walls and more about empathy, trust, open conversation with them. Why is that shift, that human approach, so critical now?
Well, what's fascinating here, I think, is this recognition that we can't be digital gatekeepers 24/7, right?
No way.
Kids will be online eventually without us looking directly over their shoulder. So just restrictions, they're not enough on their own. This human-centric approach, it's about equipping them internally.
Ah, like giving them the tools inside.
Exactly, that inner strength, you know, so they can make good decisions, handle tricky situations, even when we're not right there.
So it's about empowering them then, giving them that confidence to sort of manage it themselves.
Precisely. The source actually brings up this concept, cyber self-efficacy.
Cyber self-efficacy. Okay.
Think about teaching a kid to ride a bike. You don't just hold on to the seat forever, do you?
Right. Eventually you have to let go.
You teach them balance, how to pedal, so they start to believe they can do it themselves. Even if they wobble, even if they fall off sometime.
Okay, I get that.
Cyber self-efficacy is like that. Helping kids build that belief that they can spot online risks, they can make choices when things get weird, and importantly, that they can recover and learn if they make a mistake.
Building that confidence in their own ability to navigate online. I like that analogy, yeah.
It really clicks, I think. And there's this one line in the source that just nails it. Our goal isn't to raise children who follow rules blindly, but ones who understand why digital safety matters and who carry that understanding into their teenage years and beyond.
Understanding the why.
That's the key. Understanding why makes it stick. It becomes part of how they think, not just rules they follow because, you know, they have to.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Building understanding. If that's the goal, when do you even start these kinds of talks? Do you wait until they want their first phone?
Oh, the material's pretty clear on this. Definitely don't wait. You can actually start laying the groundwork for digital responsibility really early, even with preschoolers.
Preschoolers, really?
Yeah, they can absolutely get the basic foundational ideas.
Okay, so what kinds of basics are we talking about for, like, the really little ones?
So the source points to some simple but really crucial starting points, talking about being kind online, just like in person.
Makes sense.
Understanding they shouldn't share personal stuff like their full name or where they live, and really empowering them to tell an adult they trust right away if anything online feels confusing or scary or just off.
And I guess the conversations get more complex as the kids get older.
Absolutely. As they grow and, you know, encounter more online, the talks have to evolve. You start bringing in concepts like media literacy, knowing that not everything online is true.
Right.
Discussing manipulated content becomes really vital. Especially things like deepfakes.
Oh, yeah. Deepfakes are such a huge topic right now.
They really are.
Yeah.
You know, where AI is used to make it look like someone said or did something they never actually did. Videos, audio.
Scary stuff.
It is. So helping kids just understand that this tech exists is important. So they know to be a bit skeptical, you know.
That makes sense. Just knowing it's possible is a big first step.
Exactly. And another really crucial idea to introduce is the permanence of online actions.
Ah, the idea that things don't disappear online.
Right. Helping them grasp that even if something feels private, like a message to just one friend or maybe a picture in a group chat, well, someone can screenshot it. That group might not be as private as they think.
Yeah.
And once something's out there online, you basically lose control. Who sees it? Who shares it? Who might bring it up again years down the road? It's a tough concept, but it's so important for understanding responsibility.
And having those open, regular chats from when they're young must make it feel, I don't know, safer for them to come to you later if something does go wrong.
That's exactly the point. It builds that foundation of trust. So when they inevitably hit a bump in the road online or make a mistake,
which they will,
they're more likely to think, okay, I can talk to mom or dad about this, rather than trying to hide it because they're scared of getting in trouble.
So building that trust is crucial for when they do run into risks. The source lists quite a few common online dangers kids face. What does that landscape generally look like?
Yeah, this is where that awareness piece comes in, for parents and kids alike.
Uh-huh.
The common digital risks highlighted include things like, well, online predators trying to exploit trust,
right.
Various kinds of scams trying to trick people out of info or money, privacy violations, you know, apps or sites collecting way too much personal data without really asking clearly.
Like a simple game app asking for your location or contacts when it really doesn't need it?
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Spotting those unnecessary data grabs.
Mm-hmm.
The list also covers excessive screen time and its impacts on health, both physical and mental.
Mm-hmm.
Encountering misinformation, disinformation. Experiencing cyberbullying or online harassment, which can come from peers or strangers. And like we mentioned, falling for, or maybe even spreading without knowing, deepfakes and other AI-manipulated stuff.
Wow, that's quite a list. And frankly, a bit overwhelming. A lot of those are things adults struggle with, too.
They absolutely are. And recognizing these risks, it isn't about trying to scare everyone. It's about understanding the environment our kids are in so we can equip them properly. Give them the knowledge and skills they need.
Okay, so we're starting early. We're having these ongoing conversations. We're aware of the risks. The source then gets really practical, breaking down strategies by age. Let's dive into some of that advice for different stages.
Right, because the approach definitely needs to change as kids get more independent and, you know, more exposed online.
Makes sense.
So for toddlers, 0-5, it's mostly about managing their digital environment.
Hmm.
Limiting screen time, yes, but also sticking to trusted apps, age-appropriate, ideally ad-free ones. Talking very explicitly about what's real versus what's pretend on the screen. And, this is key, modeling your own responsible phone or tablet use. They see everything you do.
That's a big one. Okay, then what about tweens, 6-12?
Right, moving into the tween years, maybe 6-12. This is where you introduce more detailed ideas about online privacy, like why we don't share our full name, our home address, our birthday online.
Getting more specific.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the source suggests making it interactive, like playing a game of spot the fake website together, or looking at emails or messages and trying to figure out, you know, is this a scam? Is someone trying to trick me?
Mm-hmm.
Spotting those phishing attempts.
And for teens, 13, 18, I imagine it gets even more complex.
Oh, yeah. For teens, the focus really shifts heavily towards building that deeper resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Critical thinking for a much more complicated online world.
Right.
Open conversations become essential about peer pressure on social media, more sophisticated scams, the difficulty of spotting manipulated content. Using real news stories about deepfakes can make it very concrete for them. And there's a really interesting idea in the source about using family safe words.
Safe words?
Yeah, like a pre-agreed word or phrase only your family knows. So if they get an unexpected message, maybe from a strange number claiming to be a family member needing help or money urgently, they can ask for the safe word to verify it's really them.
Oh, I love that spot the fake website idea.
Yeah.
It makes learning about scams feel less like a lecture and more like, I don't know, being a detective.
Exactly. Makes it engaging.
And the family safe word is fascinating, too. It really highlights how important that real world trust and checking things is, even in digital spaces.
It really does. And you can sort of see how these strategies build on each other, right?
Hmm.
They adapt as the child's digital world gets bigger and more independent.
Which brings us back to the core of this human-centric idea, fostering that open dialogue. The source really hits hard on the idea that kids need to feel totally safe coming to us. No question is too silly, no mistake too big to share.
Absolutely critical. And the source gives some great, really specific ways to encourage that, like asking simple, low-pressure questions. What was something cool or funny you saw online today? That can open the door.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, just starting a conversation
or using those what would you do scenarios, like, hey, what would you do if you were playing a game and someone you didn't know asked for your picture? It lets them practice thinking through tricky stuff in a safe space before it actually happens.
And it also mentioned adults sharing their own online experiences can help. Even the mistakes.
Yes, that's a really key point.
Yeah.
Sharing your own challenges, maybe even your slip-ups online, like, wow, wow, I almost clicked on this weird email, but then I remembered to check who sent it.
Hmm.
It models that, hey, everyone makes mistakes sometimes, that learning online safety is an ongoing thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to admit you're unsure or you messed up. It shows it's a shared journey, not just rules for the kids.
That leads perfectly into the whole idea of modeling. Kids are always watching us. Our own cyber habits say a lot.
They really, really do.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, fact-checking an article before you share it, or questioning a weird email out loud, or actually using the privacy settings on your own apps.
They notice that.
They notice. And they're much more likely to adopt those same habits. The source also highlights the value of just admitting when you don't know something online. Saying, huh, that's a great question. I'm not actually sure how that works. Let's figure it out together.
Learning together.
Yeah, that joint learning reinforces the message way better than pretending you know everything about digital safety.
Okay, so communication and modeling, they're like the fundamental building blocks here. What about technology itself? The source mentions tech tools, but it frames them more as like support for this human approach, not a replacement for it.
That's the crucial distinction, exactly. Mm-hmm. Tools can definitely help, no question. But they should really be there to support the communication and the skills you're building, not stand in for them. The kinds of tools mentioned include things like parental control apps. Questodio, Bark, Google Family Link are examples given which can help manage screen time or filter content.
Mm-hmm.
Privacy settings that are already built into platforms like YouTube Kids or TikTok, letting you control who sees what. Built-in screen time tools on devices themselves. Even things like misinformation detection tools, browser extensions that flag questionable websites.
And the source emphasizes explaining why you're using them, not just slapping them on.
Absolutely vital. Frame it not as spying, but as creating shared safety boundaries together. Look, we're using this tool to help you manage your time online so you still have plenty of time for homework and playing outside, or these settings help make sure only people we know and trust see your posts.
Okay, so pulling all this together, the source brings us back to this bigger picture idea, that digital safety isn't just about avoiding bad stuff. It's fundamentally about, quote, shaping who our children become online.
That really is the ultimate goal of this whole human-centric approach, isn't it? It's about raising thoughtful, capable digital citizens.
Mm.
And the source lays out four key pillars for doing that.
Oh.
First, leading with empathy. Actively helping kids think about how their online actions might make others feel. Maybe role-playing a tricky online chat. Or just talking about the impact of comments they see.
Got it. Empathy first.
Second, cultivating kindness.
Yeah.
So actively noticing and celebrating when they do something positive online. Posting something encouraging. Maybe standing up for someone. Sharing helpful info. Kindness counts online, too.
Absolutely. What's next?
Third is practicing healthy skepticism, teaching them to question what they see and read online. Who made this? Why did they make it? Checking information from other sources instead of just believing the first thing they see. Asking, is this trying to trick me or actually inform me?
That critical thinking piece.
Exactly. And fourth, building resilience. This might be the most important, honestly, because mistakes will happen. When they overshare or face cyberbullying or maybe fall for a scam, the focus isn't punishment. It's helping them learn from it, reflect on what happened, and build the confidence to handle things better next time.
So seeing those moments not as failures, but as like really important learning opportunities,
yeah,
with support and trust.
Precisely. The source reminds us that growth online, just like offline, comes through thinking about things, getting support when you need it, and having the confidence to try again. But this time, you know, with a bit more understanding and resilience.
This deep dive, it really feels like it reframes the whole challenge. It's not just about policing the screen, it's about empowering the person using the screen.
Hmm.
The core takeaway seems to be about giving kids the understanding, the skills, and yeah, the confidence to not just, you know, survive online, but actually thrive.
It really is shifting that mindset,
yeah,
moving away from fear-based restrictions towards capability-based empowerment. Raising digital citizens who can think critically, act with kindness, and hopefully have the tools to help others navigate this space too.
So if shaping who our children become online is the real goal here, how does that perspective challenge those maybe more traditional ideas of just trying to strictly control screen time or block every single potential risk? What does thriving online actually look like in practice for a young person today? Something for you to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.